Welcome to the Deep Dive. Ever wonder what's really inside a simple cup of tea? Well, today we're stepping into that world. We're focusing on Ceylon Orange Pekoe. It's this really revered black tea, known for its refined flavor, its lively essence. It's captivated tea lovers for, well, generations. Our mission really is for you, the listener, to get a quick but, you know, pretty thorough understanding of what makes Ceylon Orange Pekoe just so special. We'll trace its somewhat surprising origins, break down its distinct features, figure out the best way to brew it, explore that amazing flavor profile, and yeah, even touch on some potential wellness perks. We've been digging through some fascinating sources, really uncovering the history and unique character of this tea from Sri Lanka. It used to be Ceylon, of course. So by the end of this, you'll have insights you probably didn't expect from just, you know, a cup of tea. Let's get started on this golden red infusion.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, how Ceylon Orange Pekoe's story is so tied up with Sri Lanka's history, its rise as a, well, a global tea giant. It really kicks off back in the 18th century. Sri Lanka, Ceylon back then under British rule, it became this really key player. See, the British East India Company was looking hard for ways to challenge China's dominance in the tea market. And they looked at Ceylon.
And Ceylon just turned out to be kind of perfect for growing tea, didn't it?
Yeah.
I read about those, you know, lush landscapes, the climate in the central highlands, and it was ideal, led to huge tea estates being set up. Sounds like a massive shift.
Oh, absolutely. It was a game changer. The conditions were spot on, consistent rain, different altitudes, rich soil, just fertile ground for tea plants. And as production boomed, they needed a way to grade the tea, right, for quality. And this is where that common mix-up happens. The term Orange Pekoe, or OP,
yes.
It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with orange flavor.
Okay, that's a huge one. I'm sure many people, probably me included at some point, thought that. So if it's not the fruit, what does Orange Pekoe actually mean?
It's basically a grade. It tells you about the leaves they selected, the finest whole young leaves, we're talking the top two leaves, and a bud from the tea plant specifically. These young leaves, they're prized because they have this really delicate flavor, a smooth texture. That careful selection, it just makes for a much more refined cup of tea.
Right. That's a real aha moment. So it's all about the leaf quality, not adding fruit flavor.
Yeah.
And that OP grade, it became like the benchmark for a top quality Ceylon tea.
Exactly. It came to represent that meticulous growing and processing. And even today, it's still a symbol of, you know, quality and craftsmanship in the tea world.
Okay, so we've got the history, the naming sorted, but let's dive deeper into the tea itself. In a world full of teas, what makes Ceylon Orange Pekoe stand out? What gives it that distinct character?
Well, it goes way beyond just the OP grade. It actually goes literally into the ground. The unique terroirs of Sri Lanka are key. And when I say terroir, I mean the whole environment, the altitude, the specific climate, the soil type. All these things give the tea distinct nuances. Each region adds its own little signature.
That makes total sense. So tell us about these regional signatures. I've heard Nuwaralaya called the champagne of Ceylon teas. What's behind that?
Precisely. Nuwaralaya is way up high, cooler, often misty. This results in teas that are lighter, more vibrant. You get these delicate floral notes, a bright, almost brisk flavor. Then you've got Dimbila, more in the central highlands. That region's known for teas that are more robust, more full-bodied. The monsoon seasons there add these rich, mellow flavors, sometimes with hints of citrus, maybe even caramel.
Interesting contrast. And what about Uva? Does it have its own unique thing going on too?
Oh, definitely. Uva's over in the eastern part. It's quite remarkable, actually. It often has this unique, slightly minty note that comes from specific seasonal winds and climate shifts there. It gives Uva teas a really pronounced aroma and a very smooth, balanced taste. You can almost taste the landscape in the cup, you know?
Wow, it's incredible how geography shapes taste like that. And just to circle back on the leaves, the OP grade, meaning whole, unbroken, young leaves. Why is that specific detail so crucial for the final taste, beyond just saying quality?
It's critical because whole leaves, ones that aren't broken up, they hold on to more of their natural oils and compounds. That translates directly to a richer, more complex flavor profile. If the leaves get fragmented, you know, broken into tiny pieces, they lose some of those volatile aromatic compounds, and the flavor can end up tasting a bit flat or one note. And using those young leaves, the top two and the bud, they contribute tenderness, a subtle sweetness, rather than just bitterness or astringency. It really enhances the overall quality.
And visually, it's pretty impressive, too, even before you brew it. Those dry leaves, they're like elegantly twisted, wiry shapes, almost black.
Right, that deep, almost ebony color, and that look comes from the meticulous hand rolling process.
Then when you brew it, bam,
this amazing golden red color of yours.
Exactly. That vibrant golden red liquid, that's a visual cue, a testament to its quality, how well it was oxidized and processed. It really adds to the whole sensory experience, hints at the richness you're about to taste.
Okay, now for the really good part, the taste. When we think Ceylon Orange Pico, we expect something maybe lighter than the Assam, right? Aromatic, maybe earthy, citrusy hints, and a balance of astringency, sweetness, maybe some malt.
That's a great starting point. The actual experience, though, it's quite layered. It unfolds on your palate. So that first sip, you get this gentle, invigorating astringency. It's not harsh, just enough to wake things up, but almost right away, it's balanced by the smooth, velvety, malt-like sweetness. It's a lovely contrast.
Okay. And then as it sits on your tongue for a moment, the mid-palate.
Yeah.
What starts to come through them?
That's where those nuances really emerge. You might pick up delicate hints of citrus, could be like a light lemon zest, or sometimes a more noticeable orange peel note. It really depends on the specific tea, the region it came from. And besides the citrus, you might also find some floral undertones. Could be subtle, like jasmine, or sometimes a bit more pronounced, like rose or even orchid. It adds this soft aromatic layer.
That sounds incredibly sophisticated, really. And the finish, what's the lasting impression after you swallow?
The finish is typically very crisp and revitalizing. It cleanses the palate, leaves you feeling refreshed. It doesn't just disappear. There's a pleasant aftertaste that kind of invites you back for another sip. That's a real sign of a high-quality black tea.
That whole symphony sounds amazing. But how do we make sure we get that magic in our cup? It comes down to brewing, doesn't it? What are the key things listeners need to know to brew it perfectly?
Absolutely. Brewing is where you can make or break it. First off, water temperature. It's crucial. Aim for somewhere between 180 and 195 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 82 to 90 Celsius. See, if the water's boiling hot, it can actually scorch those delicate leaves, and you end up releasing too many tannins, which makes it taste bitter.
Okay, so not straight off the boil. Good tip. What if you don't have a fancy thermometer kettle?
Good question. Just let your boiling water sit for about a minute after it clicks off. That should cool it down enough.
Right. And how much tea should we use? The leaf to water ratio.
Yeah. For Ceylon OP, a good starting point is 1 to 2 teaspoons of loose leaves per cup. And a standard cup is about 8 ounces of water. But feel free to adjust that a bit. If you like it stronger, use a bit more, milder, a bit less. It's personal preference and depends a little on the specific tea too.
Gotcha. And steeping time. I guess that controls the strength and bitterness too, right?
Exactly. It's key. For a lighter brew where you want those subtle notes to shine, maybe steep for just 2 to 3 minutes. If you prefer something more robust, a fuller body, you can push it to 4 or 5 minutes. But yeah, the big thing is don't oversteep. That's the fast track to bitterness and too much astringency. Maybe use a timer.
Good idea. And once it's perfectly brewed, you can make it your own, right? I know some purists drink it plain.
And honestly, that's often the best way to really appreciate all those complex flavors we just talked about. But hey, if you like a creamier cup, a little splash of milk works well. It can mellow any sharpness. And of course, if you like it sweet, a bit of honey or sugar is fine too. It can complement the tea's natural character. It's all about what tastes good to you.
Okay, so we've covered the taste, the brewing, but beyond just being delicious, this cup of Ceylon Orange Pico is actually doing some good stuff for your body, isn't it? It's not just a treat. It's got potential wellness perks.
It really does. For starters, think about that gentle energy boost. It's not like the jolt you get from coffee, right? Less jittery. That's largely thanks to an amino acid called L-theanine. It works together with the caffeine in the tea to give you sustained focus, helps cognitive function, can even boost your mood and relaxation, but without making you drowsy.
So like calm alertness, that sounds pretty good. And I heard it might be good for heart health, too.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of research on that. Studies suggest drinking black tea regularly can help lower LDL cholesterol. That's the bad kind. It's packed with these flavonoids, things like catechins and epicatechins. These compounds help improve what's called endothelial function, basically, keeping the lining of your blood vessels healthy and flexible. That helps reduce inflammation, can help manage blood pressure, and ultimately might lower the risk of heart disease and stroke.
Wow. And antioxidants. We hear that word all the time. How does Ceylon OP fare there?
It's actually a bit of an antioxidant powerhouse. You know that deep color we mentioned? That comes partly from compounds called the favins and therubigins formed during oxidation. These aren't just color compounds. They're potent polyphenols. They act as strong antioxidants, fighting off oxidative stress in your body, protecting your cells from damage. Long term, that can help reduce the risk of chronic diseases and even support your immune system.
like tiny bodyguards in your teacup.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Are there any other maybe surprising benefits?
Well, yeah. Those polyphenols can also be good for your gut. They seem to encourage beneficial gut bacteria and inhibit the not-so-good ones, which is great for digestion. Tea can also help stimulate digestive enzymes and reduce inflammation, sometimes easing indigestion. And there's some evidence linking flavonoids in tea to better bone density, potentially reducing osteoporosis risk. Huh. Plus, it naturally contains some fluoride and other compounds that can help protect against cavities and gum disease. So, good for your smile, too.
It really does sound like a holistic health boost in a cup. Okay, so with all these fantastic qualities, when's the ideal time to enjoy Ceylon Orange Pico? It sounds really versatile.
It absolutely is. I mean, that moderate caffeine makes it a really nice, gentle way to start your morning, but it's also fantastic for, say, work or study sessions. That focus-enhancing quality we talked about, it really helps with concentration and mental clarity without making you feel wired.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I can easily picture it as part of a classic afternoon tea spread, you know, with sandwiches, scones. Perfect. It seems like a natural choice for social things too, like brunch or a tea party. Probably a safe bet, a crowd pleaser.
For sure. But it's great for quieter moments, too, like a relaxing break mid-afternoon, just a moment to yourself to rejuvenate. Given its history, you could certainly make it part of cultural celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Or just enjoy it as a nice digestive after dinner, even take it on a picnic.
Or just for a mindful moment, right? Focusing on the aroma, the taste.
Exactly. Its subtle flavors and calming scent can really ground you in the present moment.
So basically, almost any time is a good time. Okay. Let's quickly tackle a couple of common questions listeners might still have. Caffeine, is it super high?
Nope. It's generally moderate compared to some other black teas or coffee. It gives you that gentle lift, but it's less likely to cause jitters or keep you up all night, especially if you drink it earlier in the day.
And sweetening. Is it okay to add sugar or honey?
Totally fine. While many enjoy it plain to get the pure flavor, absolutely feel free to sweeten it to your liking. It holds up well.
Good to know. And finally, storage. How do we keep this lovely tea tasting its best?
Best bet is an airtight container. Keep it somewhere cool, dark, and away from anything with strong smells, spices, coffee, that sort of thing. Stored properly like that, it should stay fresh and flavorful for a good while, probably like 6 months or so.
Excellent. Well, there you have it, our deep dive into the fascinating world of Ceylon Orange Pico tea. We've journeyed from its colonial roots in Sri Lanka, figured out what Orange Pico actually means, the leaf grade, savored its complex flavor layers, and even discovered a whole host of potential health benefits.
It really is quite something, isn't it? A timeless symbol of quality. From those elegant, dark, wiry leaves to that beautiful golden red cup, it just embodies centuries of tradition and craftsmanship. A truly rewarding sensory experience.
So maybe the next time you brew a cup of tea, any tea, really take a moment. Think about the story behind it. How does knowing that deep history, that craft, maybe change how you see simple, everyday things? What other fascinating stories, what other deep dives might be hiding right there in your kitchen cupboard? It's kind of amazing to think how much global history, trade, culture can be captured in just one warm, inviting cup.